on your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 5 o'clock, police searching for a missing girl in the River Thames in Kent have found a body. Her death is not being treated as suspicious. Two children got into difficulty in the water in Gravesend yesterday. A boy who was rescued is in a stable condition. LBC understands that UK officials are engaging with the US after Donald Trump announced new tariffs on steel and aluminium imports. Tax on the metals will increase from 25 to 50% next week. Conservative MP Caroline Johnson told LBC she doesn't have faith in the government's ability to negotiate a deal.
We've seen in the past that when Labour negotiate, Britain loses. And we have seen this, for example, most obviously with the Chagos Islands, where Labour entered negotiations and managed to leave it in a situation where they've given away our sovereign territory and paid for the privilege. From my perspective, the important thing is building good relationships with those in America. They're our friend and long-term partner, and we'd have to build good relationships with them and negotiate sensible and fair settlements.
The government says the UK was the first country to get a trade deal with the US, and it remains committed to protecting British businesses and jobs in key sectors. Two adults and a teenager have died in a car crash on the M5. A second child's in hospital with serious injuries after the crash in South Gloucestershire. Closures have been in place on the motorway. Police are encouraging drivers to consider alternative travel plans. UK military spending could reach 3% of GDP by 2034. The suggestion comes as the US Defence Secretary warns China could invade Taiwan imminently. Former British Army Colonel Simon Diggins told LBC an increase in defence spending is vital.
But what we also need is if this is the reality, this is the reality for the British people, for the Europeans, then what are we going to do about it? And what conversation are we going to start with the British people about what the consequences are, particularly in terms of, if you like, the trade-offs between increasing defence expenditure and perhaps some of the other things we might also want to spend our money on?
And it's believed that a weapon used in an attack on an officer in a Worcestershire jail yesterday was brought in from outside. The 25-year-old is in a stable condition after being airlifted for treatment. A recent report described drones as being used to get banned items to inmates in Longlaughton. LBC weather staying dry and warm this evening overnight. Tomorrow's looking cloudy with sunny spells, some showers and strong winds in the north, a high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Sinead Carroll.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Vanessa Feltz.
The word is mischievous. That is the word. M-I-S-C-H-I-E-V-O-U-S. There's no I after the V. It is not like previous. It is mischievous. That's how you pronounce it. That's the correct pronunciation of the word. Mischievous. If you're up to mischief, you are mischievous. Now, it may well be that your entire life you have pronounced it mischievous. You have thought that it was grievous bodily harm with an I before the O-U-S, but there is no I. It's grievous, mischievous. But you've pronounced it wrongly all this time. Now, hearing me say this, how do you feel? Do you feel thoroughly fed up at being told that what you've said all this time is wrong? Do you feel embarrassed? Are you blushing? Do you think, gosh, I've said mischievous all my life and it's mischievous? Lord, gosh, I won't do that again. How embarrassing. I wonder who I said it in front of. Was it the vicar? Was it the headmaster? Gosh, core. I'm not going to do that ever again. I'm going to make sure I pronounce the word correctly in future. Or do you think, don't tell me how to pronounce a word. I'll pronounce it in darned way I please. And if I want to say mischievous, that is what I will say. I don't care if there's an I in the word. Why am I talking about this afternoon? Well, you know, I'm sure Countdown, and you know Dictionary Corner, and you probably know Susie Dent, who often sits there like a goddess. And Susie Dent has said that many, many people, a sizable percentage of the population, mispronounces mischievous as mischievous, and she doesn't mind it anymore, and we should simply accept the extra syllable. At the Hay Festival, she said, something which used to rile me was people pronouncing mischievous as mischievous, but now it's everywhere, and there is very good reason why people do. She says in English, people have always pushed out a pronunciation that's no longer familiar to them. We don't have any evous words anymore, and they're pushing it to something they do know, and that's evous. So she says, I've decided it's a fascinating snapshot of how language works, and it doesn't really bother me. I think the interesting word is really, because it obviously bothers her terribly. That's why she says really. Doesn't really bother me, not anymore. I don't believe her. Purists who do object to the mispronunciation include Frank Cottrell Boyce, the author and children's laureate. He shared a social media post last week which lamented even people on Radio 4 can't pronounce mischievous now. Other people annoyed by the usage include Richard Dawkins, the evolutionary biologist, who wrote on social media, mischievous has no third eye and is pronounced with a stress on the first syllable, but a mutant I and L on the second syllable is spreading. I wonder how you feel about the mispronunciation of mischievous as mischievous, and I wonder if there are many, many words that are misused or mispronounced or Americanized, and whether it really gets your goat. And if you feel livid and affronted and furious, this is the moment to vent your spleen. Get on the line, 0345 6060973. Tell me the most mispronounced. Tell me those that really, really do offend you and get on your nerves and drive you to drink. And you just think, why? How can you be on Radio 4 or on the BBC and say advertisement instead of advertisement? What is happening? You may think, why do you say contribute? It's contribute. Everybody knows that. You don't say contribute. You say contribute. You stand in a cafe and somebody says, can I get a coffee? You think, can I get? May I have? Even better, please may I have. Please may I have a coffee. Not can I get? Can I get a coffee? My goodness, what about a coffee? May I have coffee, please? What about all the other dreadful, dreadful mispronunciations and terrible, what would you call them? I suppose, what, are they making a dreadful hash out of a language which is so beautifully calibrated and you can't bear it? What about people who say anything with a K on the end instead of anything with a G on the end, or people who don't pronounce the G at all and say, let's go swimming. Let's go swimming. Where's the G, for God's sake? Where is it? All that kind of a thing. How annoyed does it get you? Do you feel yourself wanting to correct people when they get it wrong, or do you think that would just be bad manners? So you can't, if you're a teacher, do you correct people who say, I think you've done amazing? You've done amazing. Should be you did. And if anything, amazingly, because amazingly is the adverb. Amazing is the adjective. You can't say you've done amazing, or can you? And if everyone says you've done amazing, is that amazing? You've done amazing, and that's perfectly fine. We all know what it means. It's not as if we don't. I know my late father, who was certainly a pedant and not necessarily the most polite man on earth, went to have a hearing test. And the audiologist said to my father, Norman, which is your best ear? And my father certainly was capable of hearing that. And he said, you mean Mr. Feltz, which is your better ear? I only have two. There is no best of two ears. One is better than the other. You don't have a best ear unless you have three ears or more. And of course, that's terribly rude, isn't it? He shouldn't have said it, should he? Or should he? What do you think? Would you have said anything? 0345 6060973. This is your moment to get very annoyed with anyone who pronounces H with a H and says H. You can't bear it. You abhor it. This is the moment to ring me and tell me. Or if you think this is a fuss about nothing at all, you can say that too. I'm joined on the programme, to my delight, by Lisa Markwell, editor of The Telegraph magazine. What did you think, Lisa? Nice to see you. I can see her on the screen smiling away. What did you think, Lisa, when you heard that Susie Dent, of all people, had capitulated? I still don't believe she doesn't mind. I think she hates it.
I think you put the nail, you know, you hit the nail on the head, to speak correctly, with Susie, that she doesn't really mind, because of course she is quite particular about words, as many of us are. But I think probably what she's acknowledging, and I feel I'm in the same camp, is that we've gone such a long way in allowing the English language to be flexed and twisted and sometimes bent completely out of shape. You've got to choose your battles. And she's obviously decided that that's one that she's the die on the hill of mischievous or mischievous. So, you know, I have a lot of sympathy with what she's saying. There are certain things that grind my gears. It sounds very much like you and indeed your father felt the same way.
I'd like to hear the ones that grind your gears just so we can be shocked and appalled and horrified. Or some people listening at home will think, well, I say that all the time. I don't know what she's banging on about. Which are the ones that are guaranteed to rile you, Lisa?
The ones that rile me, actually, I mean, it's interesting because I feel like you've really opened a Pandora's box, because there's mispronunciations and then there's misuses. Mm-hmm. I think misuses, on the whole, are the ones that really, really are just terrible. Like, I was sat on the sofa is one that I really can't stand in, specifically when it's supposed to be specifically. It's those letters creeping in and out that are not supposed to be there.
I mean, people will be listening now and thinking, well, I am sat on the sofa. They will think that is exactly where I am sat. I am sat on the sofa, and eventually I will be stood in the kitchen, and I will be either sat or stood if I'm not lying down. And I don't know what that Lisa Markwell, whoever she is banging on about to Vanessa. What's wrong with being sat in the sofa as long as the sofa is comfortable? But I know exactly what you mean, and you may have to explain what's wrong with somebody saying I was sat on the sofa or I am sat on the sofa.
Well, I think that might be a rant for another day, because that's not about mispronunciation. That's just about misuse. So I feel like, you know, I don't know how many hours you've got for this section.
You know exactly how long I've got. The show ends at 6. I've got, you know, slightly less than an hour. I've got as long as you wish to take, as I've invited you to declaim on this subject.
Well, I think, if I'm going to stick to mispronunciations, I mean, I have been, you know, I have mispronounced words many times, but I feel the most important thing is not to correct someone straight away if they've said something wrong. I think that is a bit rude. Mm. You know, it started when I was in a restaurant and I looked at the menu and I said, I'd love to have the scallops. And the waiter looked at me and said, I think you mean scallops.
Gosh.
You know what, mate, I'm spending my money in your restaurant, so that's okay. I've said it wrong. Mm. I didn't know that, you know, seen it written down. First time saying it out loud. What would have been nicer was for him to repeat my order back to me and say, and so and so and so and so, someone's having the lamb and this lady's having the scallops. Then I would have thought, okay, right, got it.
You might have thought, what a load of something beginning with B that almost rhymes with scallops, mightn't you?
I don't mind learning. You know, it's wonderful to learn new words in the English language. And I had a boyfriend when I was young who said something was the epitome of good taste.
Oh, gosh.
And I cringed. I'm sorry to say I cringed, and I didn't marry him.
No. And then if anyone's not quite sure what's wrong with an epitome, it's pronounced epitome, which means the acme of something, the very height of good taste, or the very bad, you know, the very worst possible example of poor taste. The epitome of something, not epitome. But there is something very endearing of when people, for example, there was that wonderful moment in was it How Green Was My Valley or whatever it was, where the fellow says he was exceedingly mizzled. And he means misled. But the point is, he's literary. He has read it. He hasn't mixed with anyone who has used it. So it's not his fault that he doesn't know how you pronounce it, because he's never heard it properly pronounced. And when he says mizzled, you have to love him. In fact, you do have to marry him.
Yes. And also hyperbole. A hyperbole written down. That's exactly how you think it's going to be said. And of course, it's hyperbole, which for me slightly falls into the same category as when you look at visitors coming to London and they say that they want to visit Beauchamp Place. And
yes, you think, or Leicester Square, exactly.
You know, and all of those sorts of words, you know, you've got to forgive people if it's something unusual. Mm-hmm. They don't hear it in everyday language, and so they don't know how to say it.
So you may think, as a general person fraternising with other people, it doesn't become you and it doesn't behove you to correct them, because it's damn rude. And I don't think my father should have said that to the audiologist. I don't think he should have said, do you mean my better ear, to make her feel small and lesser and ignorant and embarrassed and ashamed. I think that's rude, and I don't think he should have done it. He's dead, you see, so I can say this on the radio. Were he alive, I wouldn't dare disrespect him by saying anything of the kind. Honour thy father and thy mother. I would have done that as commanded by him. But I do think it was rude. However, you might say that it is incumbent upon, for example, teachers to tell children how to pronounce things, and not to say he was sat there or sat there, and not to allow it, not to say I'd done amazing.
Well, funny enough, actually, just before I came on air, my niece came to visit me, and she is a primary school teacher in Birmingham. And I said, I'm about to talk to Vanessa about a brilliant mispronunciations. And I said, you know, what are the ones that you find difficult? And she said, well, it's hard for her because she studied English. She's a teacher. She wants to use all of the words correctly, and she wants to encourage these young minds. And I think you know, we judge people very quickly. And so if you empower children to have a really extensive vocabulary and use words well, that's a brilliant tool. Mm. But she's, some of the teaching assistants, some people, you know, that she comes across are saying things wrong. And so, you know, where do you unravel?
And what do I do when I hear you for the second time on my show say saying things wrong? And do I just sit here quietly as if that's okay? Do I say anything? Because this is what we happen to be discussing. What do I do? And you're editor of the Telegraph magazine and you're not saying wrongly because that's an adverb. And I sit here being too polite to say something, or do I say something? The first time you said it, I didn't know what to do. The second time I didn't think you gave me any choice. But it's not that I don't love you, Lisa. It's not.
No.
It's just because we're talking. If we were talking about something else, I wouldn't have said anything. But as we are talking about this, what can I do? What should I do?
Well, I stand corrected.
God.
I'm sitting corrected. I'm not sat corrected.
You're sitting corrected. But should I have corrected you? I'm not your mother. I'm not your headmistress. I shouldn't have said it. Or should I have said it? I don't know.
Please say it. Please always say it. I'm always happy to be told. And in fact, that's the reason why in the written word, I have sub-editors who are people who, of course, make all writers and editors better because they correct our bad grammar and they correct our bad phraseology. So I'm jolly happy that you've corrected me. But I will say that there are some that I was taught, rather like your father, my mother, particular things that ground her gears, and now they do it for me, which are things like harassment and harassment.
Mm-hmm. And you would say it's harassment.
Yes.
And so would I. Yeah.
Well, no, it was harassment.
Oh, you say it's harassment.
Yes.
Well, what about the embarrassment of not knowing whether it's harassment or harassment? We'll see what people vote to say. Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
So harassment is English. But then I thought, well, if you're using that rule, then privacy is correct because it's a derivation of private. But in fact, privacy is correct. So you know what? The English language is crazy. you know, there are always going to be words that that people struggle with. And I think correcting people gently, but I would have loved your father to have, in conversation with the audiologist, to say, when she said, which is your best ear? Mm-hmm. He would have done the test and said, the better of my two ears.
Why did he think he needed to teach the poor old audiologist a lesson? It was enough. She was blinking, testing his ears. What more was she supposed to do?
That a lot of times. And maybe if she was gently advised on a better way to phrase it, that would be good for her. And if she was going for a job at a bigger audiology department, she would have impressed them with her language. I'm sure a lot of that was going on. Susie Dent is a genius, and you are too for knowing exactly how to use words.
Oh, thank you.
And to correct people when they're wrong. I feel that I'm no expert, but I think if I, with my own children, if they're using something wrong, and in fact, H and H is one of the ones that I have mm-hmm. said to them, and the think and thing, I have said to them, please try to use that. Please try to say it correctly, because people listen and they will make a judgment on that. So, you know, you sort of have to, you know, drill it into people, I think, when
and
they're
as
young.
You say, you didn't marry the fellow who said epitome. Had he said epitome, you might be married to him now and living happily ever after. Who knows? Lisa, a real pleasure having you on. Thank you very much indeed. Lisa Markwell there, editor of the Telegraph magazine. I don't want this to be to the death, a fight, a lethal internecine war about how you should and shouldn't say things. But there's no question, this really does rile, infuriate, frustrate and annoy us. And do feel free to let your spleen loose on this show. 0345 606 0973. I'm Vanessa Feltz. This is LBC and the time 5:18.
This is LBC.
When you sail on a Saga cruise, you really can relax because so much is included. A choice of specialty restaurants? Included. A balcony with every cabin? Included. Wonderfully attentive staff? Included. Spotting a whale out at sea? Included. Realizing the whale is actually just a wave? Included. Search Saga Boutique Cruises 2026 season on sale now. Experience is everything. T's and C's apply, over 50s only.
Long, sunny days are ahead, and your next big win could be too. With massive cash prizes waiting to be won, your dream purchase may be closer than you think. But you've got to be in it to win it. Enter today at winplus.co.uk. Winplus, great prizes, real winners. 18 plus, GB only, T's and C's apply.
When you're transported somewhere you've never been. When you discover hidden gems and amazing sights. When you just can't wait to pack your bags.
It's just stunning.
We should definitely go there.
I'm already looking at flights.
Nice.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can enjoy a world of travel from the comfort of your sofa. Search TV licence together.
Protect your dog from fleas and ticks with new Front Pro chewable tablets. Easy to give, each tablet offers 1 month's protection, helping to keep your dog happy, healthy and close. Because nothing should come between you. Front Pro chewable tablets from the makers of Frontline. Available online or in-store from pet specialist retailers. For more information, see uk.frontline.com. Contains a Foxolana.
You could be a lotto millionaire like Terry. Get your ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Vanessa Feltz on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Let's go straight to Madeline. First time caller in Beaconsfield. Mischievous, mischievous. It really doesn't matter, says Susie Dent. How do you feel about it, Madeline?
Well, actually, your guest has just said what absolutely drives me really mad is the one about I was sat. That one absolutely drives. Everybody uses it. Journalists use it. And every time they use it, I want to scream. I've even rung up about it in the past. I think, can't they speak properly? But and I've never rung before, not for anything, but this one was worth ringing about.
Well, I'm really glad you've rung. And I will tell you, it is not something that sits, and I'm using the word sits advisedly, comfortably with me at all. However, I think it's bedded in over a period of years, don't you? Maybe 15 years, so that in
well,
the old,
it seems to be, yeah.
Yes, that it is almost ubiquitous. Very few people now say I was sitting or seated.
I know.
Or I am sitting here. They say I'm sat on the sofa. I imagine it started regionally and it kind of spread, do you think?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I don't think there's any hope whatsoever of dislodging it from common parlance, do you? It's so common, isn't it? And stood also. Yes. Where, so for example, on BBC broadcast, they will say, you know, on our reporter, you know, Bill Boggs, where are you, Bill? And Bill will say, I'm stood in front of the White House, won't he?
Exactly.
I am stood. I'm stood in front of, yes. Not I'm standing, but I am stood. And nobody thinks anything less of him for saying it. Nobody says he's fired instantly for misuse of the English language. Everybody understands it. Do you think there is a point, Madeline, that if you understand it, then you understand it, so don't make a fuss about it?
I don't know, but you can't help what you feel. And it just drives me bonkers every time I hear it.
Do you ever say to somebody,
every day,
do you ever say don't say it, or why are you saying it, or say sitting or seated? No.
I don't think I have, no. But it's usually because I listen to, you know, a lot of LBC and they use it frequently.
You won't hear it from me, my love. Thank you very much for ringing. Let's talk to Jan, first time caller in Croydon. That's two first time callers. Hello, Jan. Tell me about this.
Vanessa. Oh, the biggest one for me. Well, not the biggest, but one of the biggest. People say ox instead of osk.
Yes, yeah, some do. Yes.
And that drives me bonkers. But it's on a daily basis. My partner Chris and I frequently discuss when people are saying various words incorrectly, and we sit cringing, looking at one another, going, oh, no, it's wrong.
What do you think of mischievous, almost always mispronounced as mischievous? It's wrong. But Susie Dent says, hey, let's just learn to live with it. So many people have got it wrong, we might as well consider it right. Do you think that's true?
No, I'm an advocate of let's impress upon people. When things are wrong, they're wrong. My granddaughter, Harper, always says, or has been saying, something and nothing. And I continually say, Harper, it is something, some nothing. And now she looks at me and says, something.
Oh, she does. Good for her. Good for you. But tell me about the fact that, are you the only person saying that to Harper? I mean, do her teachers say it? Do her parents say it? Or is it just you?
I'm sure. Probably just me. And I think initially when I did it, she would be irritated with me and say, I don't want to talk to you anymore. But now I look at her, she says it wrongly, I just have to look at her and then she'll correct herself. So my hope is growing up, she will grasp The words are something and nothing.
How old is Harper?
6.
Have you shown her the word written down and pointed to the G?
I haven't, no.
Well, I think you should, because then she'll know that you're not just making a fuss. You're saying it because it's correct,
not
incorrect.
Just making a fuss.
Now, I know you're not, but she might not know if she hasn't seen it written down. I would show her.
And the H, when people say H instead of H, and even BBC presenters.
They certainly do. I've noticed it too. Mm. And nobody says a word, because if they did, it would be considered snobbish or patronising or disrespectful or making them feel small or bullying. So you can't say a damn word, can you? So you just have to.
But the strange thing is, we all assume BBC presenters speak the Queen's English, and H does not appear in the Queen's English. It is H.
But it's long been the case now that regional accents and accents of all different provenances and origins are featured on the BBC. And that's a deliberate policy, so that everyone doesn't have that clipped kind of, BBC pronunciation accent that people used to have. They don't have that anymore. They don't even want it anymore.
Quite right.
Good to talk to you. Thank you so much. Let's go to my first time caller in Greenwich, also called Jan. Hello, Jan.
Oh, hello, Vanessa. So the first time, I'm a bit nervous.
Welcome.
I'm a bit of a wordsmith. Mm-hmm. I was good at spelling and grammar at school. Very bad at maths.
Yes.
But, I live in South London, and there's a certain pronunciation in this area that I've come across. Mm-hmm. And one of my pet hates is "we was." Mm-hmm. We were.
I don't think there's anything new about "we was." I think "we was doing it." It's been going on as long as we've been alive, don't you? Because that's the correct thing to say. But we was doing it. I think, we was having a lovely time. That's a kind of Cockney-ish kind of a thing that you would have found in exactly the movies or the films we were talking about in the last hour. You know, the ones that were set in the sort of Blitz. People would say we was having a wonderful time at the party, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Not "we were." I think "we were" is correct. Obviously, "we was" is incorrect. However, very common, isn't it?
It is very common.
What would have happened if you'd said that at school, "we was doing it," or "we was having a laugh"?
At school, I've been older, just people I've met who, and all the things others have said, and about H and everything. I mean, I agree with it all. I can't think of any more off the top of my head, but being a wordsmith, being somebody who could spell and write grammar properly... Mm. Any standard short of that, I used to wince terribly.
And tell me how you feel about the word "mischievous" being mispronounced.
I've heard it many, many times. It is mischievous.
Yes.
But you see, there comes a kind of an acceptance of these things. And also we get Americanisms coming over, don't we?
We get lots.
So our language is not as it should be, but I'm grateful for the teachers I had when I was, I'm an older person, and the teachers were very correct on these things.
Do you remember being sort of brought up by your bootstraps about something that you'd said that was not correct, or
My father would. Yes, he was very much like me. He would say, "Oh no, you don't say it that way." He was very much like me.
What do you think about the fact that the word "contribute" is now "contribute"? Have you noticed that?
Well, it's not really "contribute." Is that an Americanism?
I don't know what it is, but when I was a kid and when you were a kid, people would say, "Would you like to contribute to that?"
Yes,
shall we contribute?
And then that doesn't grate on me as much as
The verbs "contribute" and you make a contribution, but you don't contribute. Now everybody, I would say 99.999% of people say "contribute" as if that's fine.
Yeah. Some of them, they slip through and you just accept them, I think. The more you hear them, the more they kind of become common, don't they?
But Susie Dent saying, "And so common are these mistakes, they're no longer mistakes." I just don't know whether that's fine or not. And I don't think you would like that at all, Jan, would you?
No, I wouldn't. I don't like dropping. But, the world's changed a lot since I was at school. So
certainly has. Pronunciation. Somebody's saying absolutely pronunciation, not pronunciation. That is certainly true. Joanne says people constantly get advise and advice mixed up when writing them. It drives me nuts. And Sam from Cambridge says, "I cannot stand it when someone says Pacific instead of Specific. But it's funny the way that Sam from Cambridge spells Pacific, because usually they say Pacific as in Pacific, meaning peaceful and peace-loving. If you're pacific, you're a pacifier. You're a peaceful person, the implementer of peace. And they say pacific normally instead of specific, which means you specify a particular thing. You are homing in on a certain item or a certain fact, specifically specifying it. The difference between pacific and specific is huge. Anyway, having a good laugh talking about this. Hope you're enjoying it. The number 0345 606 0973. Looking forward to hearing from you on this one. We'll be back on it very quickly indeed. I'm Vanessa Feltz. This is LBC. The time 5:30, which means it's time for the news with Sinead Carroll.
Police searching for a missing girl in the River Thames in Kent have found a body. Two children got into difficulty in the water in Gravesend yesterday. A boy who was rescued is in a stable condition in hospital. The death's not being treated as suspicious. The Defence Secretary says he's got no doubt that military spending will reach 3% of GDP by 2034. A major review of the armed forces is due to be published next week. A woman in her 20s has died after a stabbing in South London. Police were called to Croydon at 9 this morning. A man in his 30s has been arrested on suspicion of murder. And a new breast cancer drug could help patients to live longer. Trials of more than 300 women show the three-drug combination could delay the need for chemotherapy. LBC weather staying dry and warm this evening. Tomorrow's going to be cloudy with sunny spells, showers and strong winds in the north, a high of 23 degrees.
This is LBC. Listen on the move with the all-new LBC app. Download it for free from the App Store.
The British Red Cross is here to welcome people fleeing the conflict in Ukraine.
We're here to help people to safety when storms hit.
We're here to show anyone struggling that someone cares.
Hiya, that's a huge help.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity. We actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
Thanks to their unique boutique spirit, there really is nothing quite like a Saga River Cruise. There are the elegantly designed Spirit ships, the all-inclusive dining, and of course, Saga's carefully selected excursions. You know, they'll even drive you to and from the airport with their nationwide chauffeur service.
How long now, Charles?
Oh, half an hour.
Marvellous. Search Saga River Cruises. Experience is everything. 2026 season on sale now. Chauffeur service available on UK mainland. Full terms apply, over 50s only.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care, and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. Mm. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco, every little helps.
Leading Britain's conversation with Vanessa Feltz. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
We will be straight back with It's Schedule, Not Schedule, the mispronunciations that are annoy us the most. We'll do that in just a few moments. But before we do, how about this story? The NHS could start offering breast cancer checks to women in their 30s. Currently, women are only eligible for breast screening from the age of 50, but thousands of women are diagnosed with cancer far younger than that. Millions of women in their 30s could now be offered breast cancer checks on the NHS after a world-first trial identified those with a higher risk of developing the disease. Let's discuss this with Nasser Turabi, Director of Evidence and Implementation at Cancer Research UK. Nasser, thank you very much indeed for joining me. How likely is this to be implemented, and what difference will it make if it does become the norm?
So we're currently quite a long way from implementation of this in particular, but we do know that breast screening is a really good way of finding those early stage cancers when they're most easy to treat and where we've got the most likelihood of success. So in that sense, this research is really promising. And I think what we're finding now from this science is that there are all sorts of indicators that help us target screening more effectively. Mm. So whether that's through age or particularly in breast cancer, whether that's through genetic risk. So it's really promising, but we need to hold out for the longer term trials to see if this approach will actually save lives, which is fundamentally what we're trying to do.
And is the idea that that the screening will be given not to all women over the age of 30, if it is decided to implement this, but to specific women over the age of 30 who have an increased risk? So there'll be the markers and the indications, and then they will get an invitation for a test.
So that could be one way of it happening. And I think in 10 years from now, we'll expect to see much more of that kind of targeting. So that could be through genetic profiling, could be even things like whether someone's been smoking, you know, that increases your risk of cancer. So anything we can do to target the intervention is really, really welcome. But the most important message I want your listeners to go home with is that if they're eligible for the current screening programs, whether that's breast, cervical or bowel, that they should really consider taking up that invitation, because there's a good way of finding cancers early.
I mean, I had a mammogram live on television. I had it on ITV in the end of February, and I was asked to do it, and I didn't hesitate. First of all, I've had lots of them, and I don't find them, you know, any kind of ordeal at all. Far from it. I find a mammogram, you know, there's a slight little tiny pinch when they, you know, press your boob between the two plastic things that come down. Then they take a picture, lasts a couple of seconds, and they do the same again, and then you go home, and it's such a nothing, and it can save your life. So when they said, "Well, I do it on telly," I was delighted to do it, and I've done it. And since then, I've had lots and lots of DMs from people saying, I got my invitation to come, and because I saw you having it, and because you were smiling and joking and laughing throughout, I went and did it. And now either I'm absolutely clear and it's brilliant and I'm so pleased, or I'm not, and they have found something and whatever. And so I've had this opportunity to kind of tune into this this situation where women are over 50 currently offered a mammogram. Some don't want to take it because they're scared. They're scared that it'll find something. Yeah. They're scared it'll hurt. They're scared they'll be embarrassed. They're nervous, apprehensive, a little like when people don't want to make a will because they think it might mean they will die. They sort of feel if they have the test, they might get cancer. What would you say to them?
So I think what you did was really, really valuable, because actually, you're right. Lots of people do have perceptions about cancer and cancer screening that actually, once they learn more about it, they realise that they can be much more ready to do the test. So, for example, survival for breast cancer has improved massively. And so the days when it was this automatic death sentence, which puts quite a few people off, like...
Oh, have I lost my guest? So my guest has just disappeared. Don't know what happened there. I think we suddenly lost the connection. So I think, though, that we've got the gist of what he was saying, which was very important, which is, you know, we're hoping to roll out breast cancer screening to women who are younger, women in their 30s, rather than at the moment to women over 50. And if you are asked to have a screen or a test, please do come and have it, because it could save your life, is really the key message that was being given there. All right, let's revert to this conversation about the word mischievous, which is how you pronounce it. It is not mischievous. It does not rhyme with previous. But Susie Dent of Countdown fame says it's so often mispronounced that we might as well just accept mischievous as correct, even though, of course, it's patently incorrect. There's no I in the word at all. And it's not grievous bodily harm either. Grievous. You hope you don't suffer from it. You hope you don't mispronounce it. Does it matter? Does it matter to you? Marion says, this is such a funny topic. Our family one is tiramisu. It is my fault. I taught the children incorrectly, and now they go forth saying tiramisu. We are widely mocked, but it is set in stone. This is Marion in Hither Green, who sends some funny faces along with that message. Adrian in Wicklow in beautiful Ireland says, Vanessa, the overuse of the word awesome for very mundane achievements. Also, the overuse of the word literally. It's not actually the overuse of the word literally that you don't like, Adrian, let me presume to tell you. It's the misuse of the word literally. When people say I was literally petrified, they're wrong on both counts. Literally means it really happened, literally. And petrified means turned to stone. So if you were literally petrified, that means you are a stone statue being carved out of marble, or you've suddenly turned into a bit of igneous rock. So A, you were not petrified, and B, certainly it wasn't literally. So it's a misuse of the word literally. Literally means literally. So if you say, I literally couldn't stop laughing, that means you're still laughing as you say it, because quite literally you are still laughing. So when you use the word literally, don't use it as a general adornment to every sentence. Use it when you mean it. If it's literal, say it. If it isn't, don't say it. Now keep calm, Vanessa, for goodness sake. Keep calm and carry on. Let's go to Toby, first time caller in Redruth. Hi, Toby.
Hi, Vanessa.
Tell me what's annoying you.
I literally couldn't wait to get on the phone to you.
You literally couldn't. I can see that. You're on the phone and you didn't wait. But tell me about words that annoy you, or mispronunciation, misuse, or maybe you don't care.
Well, I just wanted to talk about how I would weigh in for the younger generation and talk about how we text a lot more than we talk on the phone.
Mm.
So I feel as though because of that, we sort of almost integrate our text talk into our normal dialect.
Uh-huh.
And I can see sort of as a common theme in people my age and younger where they don't want to speak on the phone, and therefore you talk in a more casual way.
Casual, yes, but casual and incorrect, or casual and correct?
Oh, blimey.
Ooh, blimey. So, for example, incorrect. What kind of thing are you thinking of?
Well, if you text, you don't often use correct grammar when you text, right?
Well, I hope you're not talking about my text messages, which everyone is a veritable sonnet. Everyone a banquet, a literary banquet with exquisitely crafted similes, metaphors, alliteration, assonance, dissonance. The whole damn thing is in there. So if you were lucky enough to get a personal text from me, you probably print it out and frame it in an ornate frame of curlicues and baroque adornments and put it on the wall, and then your whole life would be better for it. So don't talk about my text messages, thank you very much. Talk about your own. No, I'm only kidding.
I use full stops in my text, and that's perceived as like weird. Just like, and I can't say anything other than that.
So you feel as if discourse, conversation is now larded and peppered with textisms, which mean that it is kind of clumsily inaccurate and not fit for purpose. However, people are just grunting at one another, and that will suffice, you mean?
Exactly. I do have one. I do want to weigh in with something that does annoy me, though.
Go on.
And I have to apologise in advance to my girlfriend, but she says that someone had given it to her.
What do you mean? Someone had given
instead
it?
Instead of someone has, they like she would instead of saying they gave it to me, she would say they given it to me.
They given it instead of they gave it to me. Why is she saying that?
I don't know. I ask her that every time.
Are you sure you want to carry on in this relationship? Say Vanessa has Vanessa's given me permission to say thank you so much. It's been delightful, but until you say that properly, I cannot continue because it will just upset me for life.
I don't want to get into.
No. Hello, because I would understand. I would understand. Nice to hear from you, Toby. Thanks for ringing. Let's go to Rebecca. Rebecca's in Aylsham. Hi, Rebecca.
Oh, hello, Vanessa. How are you?
I'm fine. Tell me about this conversation and what it is that irks you.
Okay, so it does. Certain words do irritate me.
Mm.
However, I was just thinking to myself, you know, the word mischievous, or to some people mischievous.
Yeah, but they're wrong. The people who think mischievous, that is a mistake, isn't it? It's not correct.
This is the way I was thinking. If we go back hundreds or even thousands of years, it was likely that word pronounced completely different to both versions we hear today. I mean, I'm not sure how, but just the evolution of language, I think that's perhaps a perfect example. You know, language is constantly evolving. It isn't fixed. It's alive and always changing.
Yes, but this is a word that it is spelled in a particular way. And obviously you pronounce it, if you can read it, and if you bother to read it, you'll see there's no I before the O-U-S. And it is not, therefore, mischievous. It's nothing about evolving at all. It's about, you might say it's about ignorance. You might say it's about laziness. You might say it's about a peremptory way of dealing with it, or an uncaring way of using language, that any word means any other word, and it really doesn't matter. But you might say it matters a great deal. You might say, read it, have a look, see how you spell it and pronounce it properly, and don't be so silly about it. Or don't use it, use something else.
That's true. However, I think I can't think off the top of my head now, but there are words in English that aren't pronounced the way that they are spelt. and can be quite confusing to people of other languages trying to learn the English language. So I just think that language is constantly evolving. I once went to a lecture by Professor David Crystal.
I know him. Brilliant author.
This lecture was specifically about the evolution of language and how, you know, when, I mean, it's not so common now, but I'm a millennial, and during my teen years, texts were shortened. There were words in text messages to your friends that were shortened, so your parents couldn't figure out what you were saying. That's evolution of language in itself. I just think things are constantly changing, and as much as it does irritate me, I just thought I would think about the evolution over thousands of years. There's plenty of words that have changed that we wouldn't recognize if we heard them pronounced thousands of years ago.
You're quite right. We may have been having an altogether different conversation thousands of years ago in a different context about different things, because life was very different then. But a word that is clearly spelled in a particular way because that is how it is supposed to be said, because it has or doesn't have an I in the middle of it, obviously clearly delineates how you're meant to pronounce it. So just read it and say it correctly, don't you think? Thank you for calling, Rebecca. Good to hear from you. All right. Not much longer of the programme to run, about 12 minutes or so on this subject. So looking forward to hearing from you. I'm Vanessa Felt. This is LBC and the time 5:45.
Coming up at 6 on LBC, Natasha Devon.
Andy Burnham says that Labour needs to get back to being the party of working class ambition. I want to know if you agree and what you think he means.
Natasha Devon on LBC.
Where would we be without the curiosity to explore?
It takes us to new places.
It even got us to the moon.
And now there's never been a better time to satisfy your curiosity about electric cars. With great offers on our award-winning range, including the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, available with £2,000 deposit contribution and 0% APR. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Ends 30th of June 25. Finance subject to status. Hyundai Motor UK Limited is a credit broker, not a lender. Terms apply.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Any tips for the racing?
Yeah. Your best bet is to enter BetVictor for their new customer welcome offer. If you bet a minimum of £10, they give you £20 in free bets on the horse racing. But here's another tip. If you're at the races, head to the paddock. You get lots of info they don't put in the race cards.
Like what?
Like the fact I'm seeing one of them drop a lot of weight right now.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet on the racing at BetVictor. 18 plus, opt in, bet on horse racing at odds of evens or greater, no cash out, 7-day expiry, terms and conditions apply, gambleaware.org.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night, to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco, every little helps.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
This is LBC with Vanessa Feltz.
And we're talking about pronunciation, misuse of language, whether it matters, whether you care about it. Let's talk to Matthew, first time caller in Oxford. Hi, Matthew. Thanks for calling. What do you think?
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi.
I just want to thank you for this opportunity. My wife's away for the weekend, and I can say what I'm going to say without her rolling her blooming eyes at me, and I can tell the whole world I'm just so grateful to you.
Oh, good. Do it. What do you want to say?
Yeah.
I'm dying to know now.
I want to agree with the person about the H's. I hate H's. And I want to know, I'd love to know why every single person that works in HR works in HR. They all say, I work in HR. And that drives me up the wall. But the big one, my biggest one, Vanessa, oh, God, I'm so pleased I can do this. Can I get?
Yes, can I
hate.
Get?
Can I get?
Yes.
And it's the young people. I'm old. My stepdaughters do it. They're all perfectly well-spoken, mm-hmm. young ladies, but they will go into a restaurant, they'll go for a coffee, and they'll say, can I get a coffee? Can I get a latte? And I want to punch them sometimes.
And you don't say, please, may I have a coffee?
I say, could I have a? I'd like a coffee. I'd like a, oh, could you get me? I'd like that. You know, but, oh, what can I get? Can I get?
And where do you think that came from? Some kind of American sitcom?
America.
Could it be neighbours?
I don't know. But can I get... So, yeah, thanks very much for that.
It's a pleasure.
Very
I said venting lovely. Your spleen would be my delight for you to do so on the show. And
yes,
tell me
indeed.
About, just while you're here, mischievous, which is the correct pronunciation. Do you care if people say mischievous? Because
no,
I don't like it.
I don't care about that mischievous. No, happy with that. No problem at all.
How can you be happy with it when it's wrong?
I mean, I'd say mischievous, yes.
No, well, you must not say that. There's no I in it. Don't say it.
No, mischievous. No, I would say mischievous. I'm trying to think now. Mischievous. Yeah,
mischievous.
No, I'm mischievous.
Mischievous.
Yes, that's right.
Well,
you should be,
especially the way you're behaving with your wife away. You're very mischievous indeed. Thank you, Matthew. Let's go to Claudine in St Albans. Hi, Claudine.
Hi, Vanessa. Brilliant subject.
Oh,
I love
thanks.
This. I mean, few as articulate as you, I have to say.
Oh,
and
you.
I agree with the previous caller, H, my pet hate. Mm. But the new one I'm hearing my kids say is, to be fair.
Yes, but that's almost kind of like a figure of speech, isn't it? At one point, people were saying at the end of the day, and they used to say it the whole time. And I used to be presenting in those days a morning programme, an early morning programme. And I used to think, oh my God, this is, you know, it's 7 a.m, you're already saying at the end of the day, and every single thing you pronounce on the radio, you're telling me it's at the end of the day. You can try and stop it. They'll probably grow out of that one, don't you think, to be fair?
to be fair and like, that's it. I literally spoke to my son 10 minutes ago, and he said like, I think, 15 times in one sentence.
It's a punctuation thing as well, isn't it? It's a kind of a biding time, metronome ticking. So she was like late, and I was like, you know. And it's like the people who say, she's, you know, and what is it? I turned around and said. So I turned around and said, and then she turned around and said, everyone's whirling about like dervishes turning around. I mean, I don't know how upset you have to get about that. Just a little irritated, maybe.
Oh, and it's a brilliant subject. Thank you.
Thank you.
Made my afternoon.
A pleasure. Good talking to you. Let's go to Phil in Swansea. How are you, Phil?
Oh, great, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Tell me about these, you know, the people getting indignant and upset and other people's misuse of language, never their own, obviously.
I don't get particularly indignant. Right, there's 3 points. One is on the pronunciation.
Yeah.
Nuclear is one that irritates me instead of nuclear.
Yes.
Second point, when you mentioned literally, brought to mind something somebody said on LBC a while ago now, talking about how human beings have made a mess of the world.
Yes.
And she said the root problem is that the population has literally exploded.
Yeah, well, And you thought, literally is the wrong word. They just think it means, it's
exactly.
A kind of emphasis word. It just means, you know, really, really, really has, or really, really, nearly has, or something, don't they?
Well, I said to my wife, you know, if the population literally exploded, it would make a mess, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Did the presenter say anything?
No,
surely
no.
Not literally. No,
just let it go. Yeah. Anyway, the third point is on grammar.
Yes.
One thing that irritates me is that people often say something like, you know, she met my wife and I at the police station or whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, John gave these books to my wife and I, when it should be my wife and me.
Yes, but they think it's extra posh to say my wife and I, but it's my wife and me.
But
they don't know, and they're doing their very best when they say that. It is a mistake, but they don't know, do they?
But I want to give a piece of advice whereby people can know which case these pronouns should taken, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the confusion arises when there's more than one person in the phrase, such as I and my wife, or, you know, or I'll use that as an example. It could be me and my friend, I and my friend.
Mm.
So what you should do is ask yourself, what would you say if there was only one person in the phrase, such as myself or my wife? So you would say, from me, or you would say, from her. You wouldn't say, from my wife and me, you would say from me. So if you exclude my wife, you would say from me. So if you include my wife, you would say use the same case.
God, you're getting yourself in the right pickle here. This is the story. You wouldn't say he gave a biscuit to I. You would say he gave a biscuit to me. So therefore, you do not say he gave a biscuit to my wife and I, or my husband and I. You say he gave a biscuit to my husband and me, because you would have said me if it were you, just on your own. That's what you would say.
You said it precisely.
Thank you. That was what you were trying to say, but boy, did you go around the houses with that one, Phil. Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you. Let's go to Paul in Worcester Park. Hi, Paul.
Well, Vanessa, I'm hoping here that you'll be able to enlighten me that it's something that the BBC and even the LBC news readers get wrong, and I'm not sure how the right thing should be. Mm. What they will often say is, today, a 19-year-old boy was stabbed in the Leicestershire region. And I think, he wasn't stabbed in the Leicestershire region, he was stabbed in the stomach.
Absolutely.
And they will do that all the time. Now, can you tell me, well, what's the right thing about that?
Today,
should you put the place first?
It should be today. In the Leicestershire region, a teenage boy was stabbed.
Yes, yeah, that's what I thought. Now, you listen, BBC, LBC, all newsreaders, they always say, today a boy was stabbed in the London region or whatever.
And they should not say that. It's nonsensical. No. It's like eat, shoots and leaves, isn't it?
Yes, it's the place first.
Yes,
right.
It's the place first. Absolutely. It should be the... Well, if there's any ambiguity about it, you must be crystal clear about it. And then you must not say a boy was stabbed in the Leicestershire region. You must say today in the Leicestershire region, a boy was stabbed. Because otherwise it sounds as if the knife went right into his Leicestershire region. It sounds as if
it's
very uncomfortable, a euphemism for a tender place, as important little places. And it sounds absolutely absurd and wrong, of course. But nobody ever says anything's wrong anymore. You're not really allowed to say that, are you? You have to say it's a viable alternative. It's the way they like to say it. You don't want to humiliate them or bully them or make them feel bad or affect their mental health, so you don't say a word. But some boss somewhere should listen and intervene, shouldn't they?
They should. And that was just my little one.
So, and you're 100% absolutely bang on it. And it's really lovely to hear from you. Thank you so much for ringing. Let's go to John in Hackney. Hi, John.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Good afternoon. I think I'm fine, thank you. I'm staggering towards the end of these 3 hours, and I'm just about okay. And now I'm going to go home and write a newspaper column. I've already fed up about having to do that on a Saturday night. Since you ask, tell me how you are, and also what is the thing you want to raise here?
I'm good. I want to defend the evolution of language.
Okay.
And the word, in particular, the word axe, as opposed to ask.
Mm-hmm.
It first appeared in around 1535 in the first sort of English translation of the Bible.
Really?
And in Chaucer, yeah.
That's interesting.
So we've changed it over time from axe to ask. It's still commonly heard in African English-speaking countries.
Yes.
But we dropped it over time. But so by saying, I defend Susie Dent in as far as, if the majority of people are making their message understood and they're able to communicate, then why shouldn't the language evolve with the needs of communication? But will we go back to using axe now that we know it's the original?
Well, no, absolutely we won't, will we? The answer is no. That's a rhetorical question. But how do you feel about the mispronunciation of mischievous? There is no I in it. It doesn't rhyme with previous. It's a different word.
It doesn't bother me at all. As a driving instructor, I work with a lot of young people and people who English isn't their first language.
Mm-hmm.
And my priority is to understand the needs of the people I'm communicating with.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend not to get too hung up on pronunciation.
How about people when English is their first language? In fact, it's their only language. How about that?
The question I would ask myself is, what do they gain from me correcting them?
Well, pronouncing it properly instead of as if they can't read or they haven't seen it written down and they don't know. It just
is that any of my business?
That's the question. I don't know. I said I didn't think my father should have corrected that charming audiologist who I never met and don't know if she was charming or not, but assumed she was more charming than my father who corrected her. I don't know. I don't know whether it is your job or isn't your job. You might say if it's somebody and English is not their first language, then you're helping them out if you say it properly.
Possibly. I question whether... I think people that possibly correct people on their grammar and their pronunciation stand to gain more than the recipient.
What do they gain? They feel cleverer than them, you mean, and posher?
I fear so.
And it makes them feel... The other person feels small, so they feel big in comparison, that thing.
I think there's some superiority in it.
Yeah.
I have a friend that uses Pacific all the time, and it drives me mad, but I would never dream of saying anything to him.
Why not? Help him out, for God's sake. Help a fellow out, won't you? Go on, Governor.
He has dyslexia.
Go on, tell him. Tell him he's doing it wrong, isn't he? He's butchering the bleeding language. Tell him that. Lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much, John. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the LBC app, where you can stay up to date on the top stories and opinion, put your news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. Coming up at 9 on LBC, it's The Legal Hour with Daniel Barnett. But now it's time for the lovely Natasha Devon.
Thank you, Vanessa. Coming up in the second hour of the show, the daughter of Gisele Pellico has said the horrific abuse her mother endured would never have happened were it not for the normalisation of online pornography. Do you agree that porn culture has real-world consequences, particularly for women, and what can be done about it? But first, Andy Burnham has said that the Labour Party needs to once again become the party of working-class ambition. Specifically, he thinks the government needs to be more ambitious on their offerings on housing and education. I want to know who you think Labour represent. If you think they do have an issue with being perceived as for the working classes, and if so, what that means.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 6 o'clock. Police searching for a missing girl in the River Thames in Kent have found a body. Two children got into difficulty in the water in Gravesend yesterday. A boy who was rescued is in a stable condition in hospital. The death is not being treated as suspicious. A woman in her 20s has died after a stabbing in South London. Police were called to Frith Road in Croydon.